Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
All right. Hey, I've been doing some radio interviews because of the book I just had come out last month. This about, I think it was 2 days ago, I was doing a radio interview with this radio station in Maryland, and this female DJ introduced me. She said, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Vince Antonucci, who is the author of a new book called Renegade, Your Faith Isn't Meant to Be Saved. It's his third book. He's also the pastor of a church in Las Vegas called Verve." So glad you guys are at Verve today. At the end of the service, we might say, "Viva la Verve." Hey, question. How many of you are get the mail every single day kind of people? Like, every day you got to make sure you get the mail, yeah? How many of you are like more like once a week, once a month? I'm more of a once a month kind of person because I don't really like the mail. I get frustrated. It's like filled with envelopes that have promises on the outside, like 2.9%. You can have this credit card, 2.9%, you know, and lots of junk mail, and there's just a bunch of, you know, bills, just nothing I really want. But every once in a while, you might open your mail and find a letter. Like, on the envelope, you see that someone actually handwrote your name and your address on the letter, and you realize someone took the time to write you an actual letter. I'm not talking about you got an email. I'm not talking about you got, you know, somebody texted you. I'm saying somebody actually took the time to write you a letter. There's something incredibly special about that because it's so rare in our day and age. But we're starting a new series today, and we're going to talk about letters. We're going to talk about letters. We're actually going to talk about our relationships. We're going to talk about relationships because relationships are so important. People thrive on relationships, right? Like, some of us are more introverted, a little bit more loner types. I'm one of those people. But even still, we all need relationships. We all need relationships. If you were asked, you know, what do you value most in life, and had time to think about it, I think you'd say, my relationships. You know, some of us would say my relationship with God, and probably all of us would say my relationships with the people who are really important to me in life. And this gets us to one of the really cool things about letters, because when you write someone a letter, it provides you the opportunity to share some things that you might never share face-to-face. You know, because maybe it's a little, you're feeling a little bashful saying it to the person's face, or maybe you're afraid you'll get tongue-tied, or it will come out cheesy or corny. And so you might not say it face-to-face, but if you actually write someone a letter, it just kind of opens you up to be more vulnerable and more bold. And so in this series, we're going to think about relationships, and I'm going to encourage you to write some letters. And today we're going to think about writing a letter to our friends. I want to talk about three different letters that you might write to a friend. But first, let's ask this question. Why do we even need friends? Why do we even need friends? Because I'm sure all of us have had times where it's like, man, it's not worth it, right? Like your friends are annoying, you're upset with your friends, you're like, why do I even put up with this? Why do I really need friends? So here's three big reasons we need friends. First, because who else is going to tell you when you look bad? Right? Like, I got some of the ideas for this series, and I stole this particular idea from this guy named Trevor Brunn. But he has this idea that could make somebody lots of money. If you're entrepreneurial, want to start a new business, this is a good idea. Do you remember when you were kids, maybe you wore Garanimals clothing? Garanimals were these clothing that had a tag inside that had pictures of animals on it. So, like, it might have a giraffe and a lion. And then you'd have pants. And if the pants had a giraffe or a lion, that meant that they match and you could wear them together. But if the pants had, like, a zebra, it's like, oh, you can't wear those together. The colors won't match. Here's the thing. Girls outgrow their need for Garanimals, but guys never do. And so someone needs to make a company that has, like, Garanimals for adult men. Right? So, like, guys can be like, yep, got it. These two things go together. But until someone comes up with that company, you need a friend to be like, what did you do today, right? Or like, dude, you look like a total dweeb wearing that shirt with shorts. Big mistake, right? And so reason number one, somebody has to tell us when we look bad. Reason number two is the other drive-thru at Dairy Queen. Have you ever been to a Dairy Queen where they have a drive-thru on both sides, and one side you're dealing with the employee through the driver's side window, but the other side, the employee's at your passenger side window, so you need someone, because if not, like, that's a long reach, like, to pay across your car and get the ice cream. You end up with ice cream all over your seat, and a lot of times the regular drive-thru line is, like, a long line of people, and there's, like, no one in the other side. Like, it's worth it to pick up somebody on the street to be your friend to get through the quick line at the Dairy Queen. Reason number three we need friends, and most important, is because God says so. Because God says so. God did not put us in this world to live life alone. In fact, in the first few chapters of the Bible, God is creating, and he tells us it's not good for man to be alone. He says we need each other. God put us in this world for relationships, for a relationship with him, and for relationships with other people. But I think that far too often, too many of us don't put enough value on our friendships. There are just very few things in life that are really worth our time and our energy and our passion, but friendships are. And so in this series, we're going to talk about writing letters. And today I want to talk about three different kinds of letters you might write to some different friends in your life. If you have a Bible, open to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you want to find Ecclesiastes, your Bible will have a table of contents, or just open right up to the middle, and you'll probably be in Psalms or Proverbs, and then just flip a little to the right, and it's Ecclesiastes. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally fine. We'll put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one today. They have a bunch of them at the Velcro bar in the back. So Ecclesiastes is written by this guy named Solomon, and it's kind of his personal journal that we get to kind of peek into. And Solomon was this guy who was the king, incredibly powerful. He was wealthy, like crazy wealthy. He was powerful. He was famous. He had prestige. He had hundreds of wives. So, like, every day he'd be like, today I'm going to sleep with you and you. And you, I mean, like, everybody probably looked at Solomon's life and was like, that dude has it made. He has everything that anyone could want. But it's interesting because you read through his journal and the theme of it is meaningless. It's all meaningless. He's like, I'm getting to experience the things that you all dream about experiencing, and it's all meaningless until chapter 4. In chapter 4 of his personal journal, the tone finally changes. He finds something that has meaning. So we're going to start in verse 8. He says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. So what he's saying is that this guy was alone. He didn't have a relationship. But what he did have was a job. And he was making a lot of money. Then he has this moment. Maybe some of us have had it. This moment where it's like you're working. You're like you're working 50, 60, 70 hours a week every single week. And you're making decent money. And you're doing fun things with your money. And then one day you pause long enough to ask this question. Why? Why am I doing all this? What's it for? And maybe you realize it's meaningless. Like the way I live my life every day, it's not what I'm really looking for. And so he moves on in verse 9, and here's where the tone of the whole journal changes a little bit. Finally, he finds meaning in something. Starting in verse 9, he says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So up until this point, everything is meaningless, meaningless. But now Solomon says, let me show you something that actually has meaning. Something with some value. Because one thing that has value are friendships. Friendships are valuable. Friendship is valuable. The people we love and the people who love us, man, they should be like at the top of our priority list. And if that's true, well, then maybe it's worth the time to write a letter communicating the value our friend has to us. I actually believe that we have an obligation to share with our friends what they mean to us because they are important. And while maybe occasionally we might say something as like, you know, kind of try to communicate that this person matters to us, kind of like a dude, you know, and it's like, yeah, we know. But when you write a letter, it's just this opportunity to be bold, a little more bold and a little more vulnerable and to say some things that you might never say in person. So three letters we might want to consider writing. The first letter is a letter of partnership, a letter of partnership. I think this is what Solomon's talking about in verse 9. Where he said, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. When you have friends who are like, you know, you're like really friends. You're not just like, hey, we say hi at work, but like you're really friends. And there's a partnership that exists there. And that is so important because when you have a friend, man, the two of you can do some things together that you could never do alone. See, the reality is I can't have a significant relationship with myself. Now, we live in a world, in a country, in a culture that sometimes kind of communicates this to us. Like you can be your best friend. You know, like you might remember the Whitney Houston song where she sang about the greatest love of all. And where is it? It's happening in me. Right? It's like, you know, I found the greatest relationship and it's with myself. And I think there's a little bit of truth in there. I think it's good to love yourself and all that. But it's just not the way life works. You can't be best friends with yourself. And God said, it's not good for someone to be alone. We need friends. Right? And there are some things we should just not do alone. Let me give you an example. This is a letter someone wrote. It's an actual letter that someone wrote to his insurance company. Okay, he writes, Dear Sirs, I am writing in response to your request for additional information in block number 3 of my accident report form. I previously put trying to do the job alone as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully and trust the following details will be sufficient for you. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel using a pulley, which was mounted to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went back up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. I then went back down to the ground level, untied the rope, holding it tightly as to ensure a slow descent of the bricks in the barrel. You will note in block 11 of the accident report form that I weigh 145 pounds, and the bricks weighed 500 pounds. Due to my surprise of being yanked off the ground, I lost my presence of mind and did not let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity, somewhere around the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowing only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers on my right hand were knuckle deep in the pulley. Fortunately, this time I regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tight to the rope regardless of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel only weighed about 15 pounds. I refer you once again to block 11 of the accident report form, where he says he's 145 pounds. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down. Somewhere in the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This would explain my fractured ankles and the lacerations on my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel, however, slowed me just enough to lessen the injuries as I fell onto the pile of bricks, and fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I am sorry, however, to report that as I lay there on the bricks, I again lost my presence of mind, and I let go of the rope, and I watched the empty barrel rapidly descend. This accounts for the 2 broken legs. I hope I furnished for you with information you need for the accident report. there are some things we should not do alone. And life is one of them. There are some things we should not do alone, and life is one of them. Life is just too difficult, honestly. It's too dangerous to do it alone. And so we need a partner to go through life with together. Our church has a mission statement, a purpose statement, and it's based on something that Jesus said in the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 22. There's this time where a person approached Jesus and asked this question. They kind of quizzed him. They said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Good question. There's a lot of commandments from God. What's the most important one? And so Jesus responds in Matthew 22, we'll put it on the screen. He said, here it is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Like, that's what's most important. And then Jesus does kind of a cool thing. He's like, hey, just in case you're wondering, in case maybe you're about to ask, what's the second greatest commandment? I'll just beat you to the punch and tell you. We'll consider this two for Tuesday, okay? Two answers for the price of one. He says, here's the second greatest commandment. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he says, these are the two most important things. And so we kind of boil that down to make it easier to remember. And we say, our church is all about loving God and loving people. That's what we do here. We try to love God and love people. Jesus would say, that's your purpose statement. That's the mission statement for your life. Love God and love people. And we need friends who we're partnered with, who we're doing life together with, so that we can help each other to learn what it means to be loved by God and to love God and to love people. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You're probably thinking, come on, Vince. Like, is this really that hard? Do I really need a friend to help me love God and love people? I mean, if that's the deal, if that's what God wants, if that's what Jesus said, love God, love people, I'll just start doing it. I got it, all right? I mean, I don't think I need help with that. I think I got it. So you might say, I'll just start loving God now. But you might start to realize it's more difficult than you think. Because you'll start to understand that throughout your life, you've had a lot of things that you've basically worshipped in place of God. And you really love those things. And some of those things might get in the way of you loving God. And so loving God may be more difficult than you realize. And you might say, oh, all right, I'm supposed to love people. I'll do it. I'll start loving people now. Maybe more difficult than you think. Because you'll tell God that. You'll say, all right, God, I'm going to start loving people if that's what you want. And God will put some people in your life and say, okay, love them. And you'll be like, oh, not them. I didn't mean them. I'm going to love the people that I like. And you guys are going to be like, no, I really need you to love them. Those are people who really need love. And so love them. And you're like, no. I said I love people. I meant certain people. And he's like, no, it's all people. And these are the people I want you to love. And you're like, I'm not so sure about that, God. And it's more difficult than you realize. And life is just something you can't do alone. You need people who are partnered with you, who are walking with you. I need that too, so that together we can help each other to live the life that God has for us, this life of love. That's one of the reasons God calls us to live in this partnership of friendship. And if you have that, if you have a friend like that, man, that's valuable that you found that in your life. And so take the time to sit down and write a letter and thank them that, man, we have this partnership that we're doing life together. And if you don't have that, if right now you're thinking, I don't have a close friend. I've got some people at work I say hi to and ask how their weekend was. I got some people at church I wave to in the lobby. I don't really think I have a close friend. And by the way, that's probably more true in our city than just about anywhere else. There actually, I've read like scholarly articles written in university journals on why Las Vegas is a city that has that people have less friends than anywhere else in the country. There's all these theories on why people in Las Vegas don't have friends. I don't know which theory is right, but I do know there are a lot of people in our city without friends. And if that's you, if you're like, I don't really have friends like that, we'll get some. Get some. It's too important. It's too important to just not have. Now, here at Verve, we actually offer you a context to form friends like that. And the context are what we call microgroups. Microgroups are 3 to 5 guys or 3 to 5 girls who meet about once a week for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just to share life together. Like to, how are you doing here? What are you struggling with? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? And man, we need that. We very strategically design them to let really partnership kind of friendships develop. And that's why it's guys or girls. Just because, and sometimes it's just like if there's, you know, three guys and a girl or a couple girls, there's just some things you're just not going to talk about maybe, and maybe you're not going to ask for some kinds of help that you need. And it's why there's 3 to 5 people, not 10 or 15 or 30 or 50 people, because, you know, we can form some deeper relationships with 3 to 5 people that we can't with a bigger size group. And so we have these micro groups. And if you don't have friends, man, you need them. And micro groups is a place where you can get that. And so today, if you want to learn more, if you say, I don't need to learn more, sign me up, you can do that back at the Velcro Bar today. First letter partnership. Man, I'm glad that we're doing life together. We are partners in this, and thank you for being that to me. Second letter is a letter of confession. And of the three letters I'm going to propose, this is probably the most difficult one to write. But it's a letter of confession. I think this is what Solomon's getting to in verses 10 and 11. He writes, if either of them falls down, so he's talking about these friends, if either friend falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone, I like that because it's got a little bit of Mr. T in it, you know, it's kind of like, but pity the fool who falls. You haven't thought about Mr. T in a while, have you? Yeah, man, it's retro. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So Solomon's basically saying, I've fallen and I'm cold. And I'm alone. And when you're in that kind of situation, you need help. But asking for help is some of the most difficult things we can do. You know, it's one of the most difficult things that we can say is, I need help. Well, at least it is for me. Because I have this perception of myself. I don't know if you guys see me this way. But in my perception of myself, I wear a cape. And I've got a big S on my chest. Like, I don't need anything. I can do this by myself because I kind of think I'm Superman. But the reality is I'm not, and we all need friends because there's times where you've fallen. And there are times when you're cold and you're alone, and you need to ask for help, right? And God has called us to that kind of relationship. See, part of the problem is some of us will be like, oh, I got friends. Like, I don't need this. I have friends. But a lot of our friends are very surface level. Right? People you say hey to, people you, hey man, you watch that game, you see that movie. But God calls us to have friends where there's a certain amount of, a lot of intimacy and vulnerability. Like we can talk. Like I can tell you the things I wouldn't tell anyone else. Like I can share stuff with you. And that's hard for some of us. Right? For a lot of us, the reason it's hard is because maybe you had a friend in the past and you got burnt. Right? And it's made it hard. When I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store, and I did all kinds, like I would walk in, they'd be like, hey, you're a cashier today, or you're working in the bakery making cakes, or sometimes I would walk in and they'd say, you're going to do produce today. And if you're at that store, if you're doing produce, one of the things you would do is you would wrap heads of lettuce. And so you'd take this lettuce, you'd put it on this thing, there's this plastic wrap, you'd pull it out, pull it over the lettuce, kind of tuck it in, and then you'd pick up the lettuce and you'd do this, and there was this hot metal bar. And when the plastic wrap hit the hot metal bar, it would tear off, and then it would get it hot, and it would melt onto the rest of the head of lettuce, and you'd do a bunch of those. And so one day, I was doing it again, and I would turn around to get something or something, and I slipped, and I was, like, falling down. And so I reached and grabbed when I was falling down, and I went and grabbed that hot bar. And, like, so I'm falling down, holding it the whole time. Man, burned right through my skin. I had to go to the hospital. And I'll tell you this, the next time I went back to the store and they said, hey, you're on produce today, I was like, bakery, anywhere else? Like, we need to do on produce. And I'm like, no lettuce. And they're like, lettuce. And man, when I went and did that, I did it hundreds of times without any problem. But from that point on, like, when I went to use that machine, like, I was cautious. Not cautious. I was ridiculously cautious. I would be like this, you know, and like crazy. I mean, like, to this day, I can't look a head of lettuce in the eyes without flinching. Like, I'm like, I know what you did to me, right? And a lot of us are like that with our friends, right? Because you had a friend somewhere along the line who burnt you. And so to this day, with your friends, you are cautious. You're probably ridiculously cautious. because you don't want to get burnt again. And it's a risk. It's a risk to be vulnerable. It's a risk to confess something you're struggling with and ask for help. But it's a risk that we need to take. It may be hard, but it's a risk we need to take because God has called us to take that risk. And because it's how our lives get better. There's a powerful verse we actually looked at a couple weeks ago in James chapter 5, verse 16 in the New Testament of the Bible. We'll put it on the screen. But it says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Now, there are other verses that talk about confessing our sins to God so we could be forgiven. But this is saying something different. It's saying, confess your sins to your friends because that's the path to healing. That's the path to making your life better. And so we need to do that with some safe people. Years ago, I went to this, not SeaWorld, but a SeaWorld kind of place. And we went in for, they had a dolphin show. And we were sitting there. And before the dolphin show started, the lady who was like narrating it, the MC, said, hey, you're going to need to forgive us today. We're having a really bad week here at the Dolphin Pavilion. And she said, one of our dolphins died this week. And everybody went, oh. And she said, yeah, it's horrible because the deal is out in the ocean, out in the wild, dolphins, if they're sick or if they're injured, they will cover up their weakness because if you are a sick or injured dolphin, you're easy prey for sharks. And so they cover up any, you know, and they need to, they should, out in the ocean. She said, but the problem is here at you know, SeaWorld, she said, this is a safe place. There's no sharks in the dolphin tank, and so you'll never be attacked. But that behavior is so ingrained in dolphins that when you have a dolphin in a safe place like this, it will cover up any illness. It will cover up any sickness. You have no idea something's wrong with it. And then one day you walk in, and the dolphin's floating in the tank. All it needed to do was just reveal that it had some problems and we could have taken care of it, but it didn't, and so it died. I've been in church groups, microgroups like we have, or small groups like 10 people or so, for 20 years now, I guess, and it's been interesting. I've had people in my groups who have absolutely train wrecked their lives, you know, like, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? I've had couples who came in our groups and said, hey, we're getting divorced. Like, we won't be back. We're getting divorced this week and, you know, whatever. And everybody's mouth is dropped open. Like, what? I've also had, in groups I've been in, people who came in and said, hey, I'm embarrassed, but I think I'm in trouble. Like, my life is not going the way it should. Could you guys pray for me? Or couples who came in and said, hey, like, we're in a really bad place. Like, I mean, like there's talking, like, divorce kind of stuff going on. And those people who came in and said, I need help, man, they got help. Like, no one attacked them. It's like, this is a safe place. And so people came around them and prayed for them and loved them and did everything they could and said, how can we help you? Can we find counseling for you? And all kinds of things. And they got better. But the people who felt like I need to cover this up and just came week after week with problems but never share them, those people just died. And God says, listen, you need to find some safe people. You need to find a safe place like this church, like a microgroup, where you can be honest and open and transparent and vulnerable because that's the path to getting better. You need to be able to say, I've fallen, I'm cold, I'm alone, would you help me? The third kind of letter, the last letter, is a letter of defense. A letter of defense. Now, the first letter, a letter of partnership, is all about us, right? Saying, hey, man, we're partners in this. A letter of confession is all about me, right? I'm hurting, I'm struggling, would you please help me? A letter of defense is all about you. It's all about the person that you're writing to. It's all about a need that you know or maybe you perceive that they have in their life. Solomon writes this back in verse 12. He says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands, not easily broken. And so he's kind of saying, listen, there are some things you just can't do alone. There are some situations in life, there are some things you're going to face where if you're alone, what's going to happen is you will be overpowered. But if you have a friend, or even better, if you have two friends who you can face this situation, you can face this temptation, you can face this struggle together, man, you can defend yourself, right? You can overcome this thing. And so with this third letter, you're going to write your friend a letter, and the letter basically is, here I am. Here I am. You know, you write to a letter who maybe has told you, hey, I'm struggling, or maybe they haven't told you, but you're pretty sure. Like, it just seems like, man, this person is really having some difficulties. And so you write them a letter, and it's not like a judgmental, I see your life is really screwed up right now. It's like a loving letter, right? Of like, hey, I think you're struggling, and I've struggled a lot in my life, and I just want you to know I'm here. Like, you can count on me. Like, I will stand by you. I will defend you. Like, I'm in this with you. Right? Because maybe you perceive that you have a friend right now who's under attack, and maybe it's an attack that you think they'll be overwhelmed by. Maybe it's a physical attack. Maybe they're being physically or sexually abused. Maybe it's an emotional attack. Maybe they're being emotionally abused. Maybe it's a spiritual attack. Maybe they're just dealing with some temptations that are very difficult for them. And so you write them a letter and say, I would like to come to your defense. Like, I just want you to know I am available to you, to pray for you, to talk with you. Whatever you need from me, I'm here for you. Wouldn't it be amazing to get a letter like that? To know that someone cares so much about you that they're there for you? I mean, it'd be different. You probably never received anything like that, but wouldn't that be amazing? And if so, why don't you give someone else the gift of experiencing that by you writing that letter to them? If you have a friend who you think is struggling right now, a letter of defense. So three letters I think maybe some of us need to write. And I hope that from today, maybe you walk out of here realizing that friendships are more important than maybe you've given them credit for. Maybe you leave today realizing, man, friendships are more valuable than the value I place on them in my life. You know, I think friendships are a lot like trees. I think they're a lot like trees. You know, the thing with a tree is the longer it grows, the deeper its roots are getting into the ground. And that's true in our relationships as well. Right? Like, the longer we're friends, it's like the deeper our roots are going to grow together. And then as a tree's roots grow deep, it allows the tree to continue to grow taller. And so what once was a small tree gets to a place where it can, like, provide shade for people. And it's the same with our relationships. As our roots grow deeper, our relationship develops, and it goes from being this kind of newer, maybe a little bit awkward relationship to being a relationship that can, like, provide shade for us. It can provide shelter and covering in the midst of the storms that hit our lives. And you know, the thing with the tree is, if you don't have one, well, you can plant one. And the thing with friendships is, if you don't have a friend, you can plant one. You know, if you don't have a friend, you can make one. You know, some of you maybe have been sitting here the whole time and saying, write a letter. I don't have a friend I could write a letter like this to. I don't have a friend. None of those letters would apply to me. I don't have a friend like that. And if that's true of you, man, you need to get a friend like that. And it may be difficult, but it's just too important to ignore. And as I mentioned, you may have some other options outside this place, but here we have provided an option for you, a context for you to make those kind of friends, which is a microgroup. And if you're interested, you can find out more or sign up today at the Velcro Bar. And if you do have a friend like that, if you're like, no, I got some, and write a letter. Write a letter. Your friend, if you have a friend like that, your friend is worth it. And so write a letter of partnership or a letter of confession if you need something or something you need some help with, or write a letter of defense if you have a friend who's struggling. Write him a letter. You know, if you are sitting here thinking, man, I don't really have a friend like that. I have friends, but I don't have, like, a close friend. This is one of the cool things about God. Because God came down to earth and lived amongst us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus, since he was actually like God in human flesh, but he was God living amongst us, he could have lorded that over people, right? He could have kind of gone around and been like, by the way, I'm God, you're my servants, you know, God's servants, God's servants. But that's not what he did at all. Jesus actually said he came to be our friend. It's pretty amazing. Like in John chapter 15, verse 15, we'll put the verse on the screen. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. So I'm not here to make you my servants. I'm here to make you my friends. And Jesus taught in John 15, verse 13, just two verses earlier, he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So you want to know what real friendship looks like? Real friendship is you're willing to die for your friend. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you on the cross. You may feel like you have no close friends, but Jesus is a friend who came to your defense by dying on the cross, who is willing to forgive all your sins if you just confess to him, and who is inviting you into a lifelong partnership with him. And that's really cool. So we're going to give you a couple minutes right now to just kind of process through all this, maybe chew on this a little bit. Band's going to play a song, and we do this every week where we give you a chance just to kind of think, so what do I do with this? Okay, it's not just information. This is personal, right? So how do I apply the information I've received and I've experienced today? And so maybe during this time you realize, I need to write a letter because I've got a great friend, and not everyone has that, and I want to let my friend know. Or maybe you realize, I don't have close friends, and I need to do something about that. I need to take a step towards friendships. Or maybe you need to accept God's invitation to friendship with him. Maybe for the first time in your life, you say, God, I would like to be friends with you, and I want to explore and understand what that means. And honestly, that starts with accepting what Jesus did on the cross for you, and so maybe you kind of spend a little bit of time thinking about that during this song, and or if you have accepted that, maybe we just remember, I have a friend who laid down his life for me on a cross. During the summer, we also offer communion, which is just a reminder of Jesus doing that for us. It's on tables around the room, and it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood. It's just this tangible reminder that Jesus gave up his life for us so that we might have life with God. And so if you'd like to take communion, you can. If you'd rather not, then you can just stay in your seat and spend some time thinking about what are your next steps in your life's journey, okay? So I'm going to pray. Band's going to do a song, and then after that, we just got a couple minutes left. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you because in Jesus, we have the ultimate friend, and we have the model for friendship. We have a friend who is willing to lay down his life for us so that we could have relationship with you. And God, my ultimate prayer is that every person in this room would experience that. We would experience what it's like to go through life not alone and not even having to depend on fragile human relationships, but having this perfect relationship with a perfect God who loves us perfectly. We all need that. But God, you tell us that we also do need relationships with people. And so I pray that we have some friends like that already in our lives. And if so, that we take some time this week maybe to write a letter or two thanking our friend or coming to their defense or asking for help. God, if we don't have friends like that, I pray that you would encourage us, that maybe this service would have been a kind of kick in our butt to get us to move towards relationships with people that we need to have. God, and most of all, we need you. And I pray that in this place, we're taking steps towards finding you and having you in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.